Iambic Audiobooks presents Ostrich by Michael A. Thomas, read by Victoria Scott. Chapter 1. A staccato, pop, 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 cut short Everett Groom's consideration of the eviction notice. He lunged into the 40-watt gloom of VJ's cramped apartment, blinking and off balance. He then stumbled over a metal folding chair and nearly fell. Ev's £235 were crammed into cut-rate jeans that restricted movement and added an element of danger to the business of walking. Bringing all his strength to bear, he was able to keep his feet, if not his composure. Upright but shaken, Ev lacked the confidence to proceed. For several moments, he stood just inside the door, panting and cursing. He made a point to specifically mention the manufacturers of the metal chair and the man who'd placed it so carelessly in his path. Staring into the murky half-light, sunlight streaming around him, he smelled an odour. Fish and pine sol, an astringent, bracing stink. Now he understood. VJ's swamp cooler was on the blink, and 5-ounce Jojo Beluca liniment bottles were exploding in the undiluted fervour of the midday heat. Hot, short of breath, and still shaky on his feet, young Croom endured the stink and thought of his great-uncle.
"You can't count on a guy who's scrawny,"
the old gentleman had said. The remembered words impressed Everett as profound, prophetic. Ev had been a chunky, responsible child, and had developed into a portly, reliable young man. Scrawniness and irresponsibility were attributes the Crooms managed to avoid. This was not the case for Virgil Jose, VJ or Verge Eckelberry. Ev regarded his friend with a deflating sigh of resignation. Likeable as he was, VJ Eckelberry was one of the thinnest and most unreliable human beings to have ever cared for sheep on the ranchlands of Nevada or peddled Jojo Beluca products on the sun-roasted streets of Albuquerque. Now, according to the notice VJ's landlord had evidently nailed to the door, Ev's friend had just under 30 days to vacate the premises. Ev was far from surprised. The timing, in fact, was perfect. They were leaving that very day for a visit to the Eckelberry family ranch in Nevada. Maybe VJ would make peace with his father and stay. VJ, the subject of these ruminations, sat at the foot of an unmade sofa bed, gaunt arms angled out of a purple-flowered cowboy shirt. Pink long john bottoms betrayed the easy lifestyle of a man who washes clothes democratically in a single load. His face was unshaven. His long black hair was going in all directions in an apparent attempt to escape from his head. He began twirling an unruly handful into a rough bun on the right side. He showed no signs of having noticed his friend, the liniment explosions, or the brash, exuberant stink that pervaded the apartment. In Ev's experience, the absent-minded hair twirling was a sure sign of trouble. Instantly wary, he noted with horror that VJ was reading. This was going to be bad. Ev's head began to ache. It was 12 noon. Outside, the high sun tracked the endless pavement and sent heat shimmers into the air, distorting vision and causing headaches. VJ had avoided headaches and many other risks of venturing outside his apartment. His attention was fixed on a dog-eared copy of Stockman's Universe, with feature stories on Spots Gold in Feedlots and The Environmentalist Threat to Our Traditions. Anyone familiar with Verge Eckelberry would expect him to show right thinking, if passing, concern for the ravages of Spots Gold in Feedlots. Still, Ev did not imagine that his friend would give much attention to the topic. VJ simply would not find articles on Spots Gold particularly gripping. Similarly, as far as Ev knew, VJ Eckelberry had not reflected deeply on environmentalists or our traditions. He hadn't, in fact, reflected deeply on much of anything. His metabolic level seldom allowed it. In a Wyoming bar, someone had called VJ an environmentalist, and there had been trouble. Still, Ev did not think that VJ was likely to be reading up on the subject. In Ev's experience, VJ had confined his reading to concrete, practical documents such as the Daily Racing Form and inspirational pieces on Jojo Beluca marketing. Ev was puzzled. What about this particular issue of Stockman's universe could exert such force on the ever-wandering mind of Vijay Ecclebury? Several minutes passed, and Vijay didn't move. He didn't so much as nod to acknowledge Ev's presence. Ev's eyes adjusted, and he again noted the undiminished virulence of the smell. He could understand why Vijay's landlord and former business associate, the slight and indomitable Chingleput Gupta, had decided to evict his erstwhile supplier of Jojo Beluca products. Even in a depressed market for apartment rentals, there is a point when a landlord must act to guard his investment. Vijay had conceived of his Albuquerque apartment as the Southwest regional headquarters for Jojo Beluca products. One such product was Jojo Beluca Miracle Performance Liniment for Horses and Show Bovines. This liniment was one of the less prominent products, but every one of the 30 opportunity kits that Vijay kept in his closet had a 5-ounce bottle. The bottles, Ev supposed, could not contain the miracle. Happily, the explosions that had ushered Ev into the apartment were benign except for the powerful stink they loosed into the world. That smell! Neighbours reporting the odour to both landlord and police had characterised the smell as something like a limit of trout rotting in a bucket of pinosol. Mr. Gupta had apparently lost his enthusiasm for both the product line and Vijay Ecclebury. Ev empathised. Smelling the fresh evidence of the liniment, Vijay had made earnest, if not sustained, efforts to clean up the mess every few days, Ev nevertheless felt brave enough to continue into the depths of the apartment. He shut the door behind him and crossed the front room into the fetid kitchenette, where Vijay had stored some of the opportunity kits. He made himself a cup of instant coffee and stood in the kitchen doorway. Every few minutes, Vijay would idly stroke the sensitive area behind the only ear of a large, grimy, and battle-scarred tomcat. Foreman regarded Ev with a purity of disdain that Ev found both amusing and incomprehensible. Thus, meeting the minimal needs of the purring, snot-coloured cat, Vijay continued to stare with rapt, complete attention at the soiled magazine. Ev watched and sipped coffee. They were to be in Nevada by noon the next day. There was a birthday party for Vijay's old man. Ev had hoped to drive in the cool of the day. Since the cool of the day was gone, he was content to pass the hot hours enveloped in a cloud of smelly liniment. He would sip coffee, bear up under the withering gaze of Foreman, and watch Vijay read. It was a novel experience, if a bit slow. At length, the time for reading evidently passed. The magazine fell from Virgil's hands. He lifted his gaze to the fly specks and cobwebs on the wall, or a vision of paradise beyond. Ev, he said, correctly surmising that his friend had joined him, your parents can get rid of that tacky trailer. You can sell that ratty pickup. You can get some comfy, decent 501 Levi's instead of those Kmart seconds that never fit. You can quit pinching every penny and buy a beer or two for someone else. I'll see you in a beaver hat, a silver quadruple X with a hat band, and everything. I swear that wool felt thing looks like a cat sleeping on your head. Go ahead and shit-can it before Foreman gets romantic. You can also get old four-eyed Susie some contact lenses, or better yet, get a new girlfriend. That Susie may not be good-looking, he shot a sideways glance at Ev, but she sure can be a bitch. Now that you're going to have a pot to piss in, you can get a woman with manners. Whoa, Ev finally said, cutting his friend short. He was used to Vijay's insults, but usually his slim friend managed to spread them out a bit, throwing one here, then one there, over the course of the day. Vijay smiled a big, face-busting grin and lifted his shoulders sheepishly. Ev liked Vijay. His energies and enthusiasms were infectious, and he'd always been the perfect antidote to Ev's unhappy bias towards pessimism. Still, he could be exasperating at times, and this was one of those times. Experience told Ev that he should not squander his powers by challenging any of Ecclebury's outrageous statements. He ought to keep his mouth shut. The room was close and uncomfortably warm. Young Croom had narrowly missed a ruinous fall. His stamina was compromised. Vijay, he raised his voice, I've told you a dozen times, Susan is not my girlfriend. Get it through your head. She's got a boyfriend. Some guy with earrings in his eyebrows. Ev closed his eyes and rubbed his head. Vijay was not slowed, just deflected by the interruption. He leapt to his feet and began to pace. The cat followed suit, trotting in and out between Vijay's legs and purring.
"I guess you saw the paperwork on the door," he said. "Old Chingleput's evicting me. I have 30 days.
It's a shame. He had potential. He was already my best salesman. The limited dimensions of the room did not leave young Ecclebury much latitude. 3 steps turn, 3 steps turn. That's all there was, and he made the best of it. Twisting at his hair, he began whistling Volare with as much volume as he could muster. Ev stood in the kitchen door, sipped coffee, and watched. Things had picked up. He smiled. Mr. Gupta had been the only person Vijay had convinced to sell Jojo Beluca products. Recalling Vijay and Chingleput as partners and their plans to change the rules in the South Asian household product market, Ev's smile broadened. Vijay continued to pace and whistle. It was entertaining for a couple of minutes, but soon began to get on Ev's nerves. He was surprised that he was not genuinely angry about the insults. While Verge paced up and down, he gazed at his old friend through brown eyes that glowed with warmth and fellow feeling. Ev shook his head. The late volley of insults had a rare and unexpected purity about them. Certainly, the outburst was appalling. Ev hoped his pal would henceforth find the forbearance to keep them to himself, but they were not malicious. Verge was simply excited, overexcited, and Ev still didn't know why.
"Verge?" Ev broke the silence sharply, hoping to end the ridiculous pacing. "What's put you into this state? Stop the damn workout and settle down. We ought to beat a Monticello by now. What the hell's going on?"
The lanky man stopped the march. He lifted his eyes as though to heaven and took a deep breath. He continued to whisper the words of Volare under his voice. "Let's fly up way to the clouds, under, away from maddening crowds." Finally, Vijay met Ev's gaze. "Why?" he thought. "Old Ev hasn't heard the plan. No wonder he looks so crabby." Vijay was a man of compassion. He decided at once to end this disturbing ignorance. Fixing his friend with eyes that simply radiated brotherly love, he smiled in a fond way and said, "Ostriches." Ev had to admit that his friend had found the word for the occasion. Ostriches have a reputation for avian single-mindedness of the type Vijay had shown in his attention to Stockman's universe. They bury their heads. Likewise, following their own inscrutable impulses, they will suddenly run to the far horizons, an embodiment of speed without reflection. Vijay had taken a similar approach to his own 22-year span on the planet. Beyond that, Ev noted that his friend's eyes were glazed in that look of vacant absorption one so often finds in poultry. Ostriches, indeed. No word could better characterize the appearance and behavior Ev had witnessed. Impressed, but far from satisfied, Ev urged his friend to flesh out his description.
"What do you mean?
Ostriches.
We're going to be rich," Vijay explained. "But let's get the flock out of here."
He stepped to the door.
"Go on, foreman. There's a good kitty."
The cat had apparently lived in the midst of Central Avenue traffic since the days of the Old Testament. Young Ecclebury, as everyone knew, was a marvel with animals. According to Landlord Gupta, Vijay was the only human being to have ever touched the cat without sustaining injury. Vijay had both fondness and admiration for the cat he'd christened George Foreman. The cat stalked out, not failing to bare his teeth, and hiss as he walked past Ev. Vijay shut the door and fixed Ev with knowing gaze.
"Chop chop, Ev. We'll have to scrape the sisters off the ceiling if we miss the old man's party. You know what they'll blame. I'll tell you about it while we drive."
Ev agreed. Rosa and the others would blame him. He got a sick, hopeless feeling in the pit of his stomach. He had been sweet on Rosa Ecclebury as long as he could remember. It was his secret, and it was hopeless. She was inaccessible, older by 2 years, a seeming chasm of time. Besides, all the guys were sweet on Rosa. She was beautiful, smart, and confident, and she was an Ecclebury. In addition to having the finest ranch in Basque County, Nevada, the Ecclebury family had something else. Call it confidence, charisma, or just a glow. It was a family trait. Vijay had it in spite of himself, and Rosa had it in spades. Ev admired her with fervent resignation. He didn't have a chance. Still, He did not want her to be mad at him, and that was a distinct possibility.
Yeah,
sighed Ev, fatigued and forlorn. Let's go. Shake a leg. If we don't hurry, we'll miss driving in the heat of the day. I figure we've now got 6 full hours to spare. No need to waste it resting in cool comfort here. Vijay ignored the bitter tone of irony that Ev attempted to convey. Old Ev was often and inexplicably moody. Vijay had to get ready to go. Chop chop. He started packing, sniffing shirts, searching for mates to any of the socks strewn about, putting everything into a paper bag that held a new pair of jeans. Vijay avoided doing laundry. He'd found he could put it off a while by buying new clothes.
Don't worry.
He stuck his head into the kitchen to see that the stove was off. I want to stop and see Mama on the way.
What?
I want to stop and see Mama on the way.
In Phoenix?
That's right. That's where she lives. Evertly Ev. Vijay was out the door. Ev followed, his large frame bent with trouble. Vijay stood for a moment and admired his pickup before getting in. It was a brand new, metallic blue Ford 1-ton with dual rear tyres.
Hell of a truck, he said.
No damned king cab either. Vijay took great pride in the fact that the pickup did not have a king cab to spoil the lines.
Hell is right, Ev replied bitterly, getting into the blisteringly hot non-king cab. It looks to me like a guy paying $28,000 for a truck could get one with an air conditioner.
A man might, Vijay shot back, if he wanted to junk up a nice truck with unnecessary trash and waste his daddy's good money. It must have been 150 degrees inside. They took off into the Friday swell of traffic. $1,000 or so worth of stereo equipment blared, I got friends in low places, into their skulls. Ev snapped it off.
Yeah, he said, it'd be a shame to junk up your nice pickup with unnecessary trash.
It was so hot the knob burned poor Everett's sausage-like fingers.
And now you can explain to me how Phoenix is on the way to Basque County, Nevada. The town's evidently shifted a bit north.
It only adds a couple of 100 miles, Vijay answered, swerving in and out of traffic to sail cheerfully south away from their destination. I want to see that Mama knows about this from the get-go. We can triangulate to Nevada and get there just in time for the old man's party. If we hit the ranch too early, Rosa will have us cutting hay in the morning dews. Sudan hay, if I hear right.